Is there anything that is more important than Christ? You see, if you're a true believer, there should be nothing more important than Him. And for Abraham, the true believer, the paradigm of those who are in the faith, even his most precious possession, he did not withhold.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, we may not like God's testing in the moment, but when we walk in obedience and come out on the other side, the reality of God in our lives is made manifest.
You know, that's right, Dave. God proves our faith in obedience through testing, and that's for our benefit and ultimate satisfaction in Him. Let's open our Bibles and finish our study of Genesis chapter 22.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Isaac has been taught. And you know what? God told Abraham that he should be commanding his children. Remember that back in chapter 18? Turn back there for a minute. Chapter 18, verse 17. Isaac's puzzled. Where's the lamb? Isn't there going to be a sacrifice, Dad? Chapter 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?" That was concerning his destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. "Since Abraham will surely become a great, mighty nation, and in him all the nations will be blessed." Verse 19, "For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham all that he had spoken about him." Abraham taught his kids, apparently. Isaac is saying, "Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb, my father?" So what is Abraham's answer? Verse 8 back in Genesis. And Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Can you imagine how excruciating that would be? God will provide. Abraham knows in his heart, you're the lamb. You're the sacrifice. He says, God will provide. And that word provide is an interesting word, ra'ah. It speaks of seeing. We'll see later on, Jehovah Jireh, really, Jireh. He is the God who sees with an eye towards providing. And Abraham says, God will provide. He's going to provide the lamb. Incredible faith he has. Notice end of verse 8. So the two of them walked on together. We have this phrase again. They walked together. Emphasizing that unity between the two and foreshadowing, I believe, the unity of the Father and the Son as Christ advanced to the cross. Now we see they arrive. Verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. You see, God was calling on him to do things. It was by faith, but he had to do this. So he's building the offer. He loves his son, yet God has called him to sacrifice him. And notice, Isaac now is certainly aware of what is going on. He says, and Abraham built the altar, arranged the wood, and bound his son Isaac. Implied in this was Isaac's willingness to be bound. Abraham's over 100 years old. He rode a donkey out. He didn't walk there. Well, he walked from that point where they saw the place. If Isaac wanted to not do this, he probably could have certainly taken on Abraham, being a young lad. And it says he bound his son Isaac. Obviously, the conversation has gone forth that you're the lamb, Isaac. You're the sacrifice. And he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. You know, it's interesting. Isaac also, I think, foreshadows what Christ would do. He willingly gave himself. Jesus said, "No one takes my life. I give it up. I lay it down for the sheep." John 10. And what happens now? Verse 10. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He was fully ready to do what God had said. He is obeying the Lord all the way through. It's not half-hearted obedience. It is all the way. In his mind, Isaac is going to die. He has a deep trust in the Lord. Think of what Job said, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust him." How excruciating this must have been. This is how faith responds. I'm going to obey the Lord and trust Him to fulfill His promises. This is how we need to respond when God brings tests in our lives. An unwavering commitment to obey the Lord by faith. Is there any area where you're not obeying the Lord? This is a huge test. This is His Son, His only Son, whom He loves, in whom the promises God has made would come through. So notice what happens at this point. Verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad. Do nothing to him, for now I know you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Now, right at the nick of time, the angel of the Lord, literally the messenger of the Lord, calls out to Abraham to stop. And if you'll remember, we've seen this term in the Old Testament, not an angel of the Lord, but the angel of the Lord points to the Lord himself. And the context of this passage shows us that. Even verse 12, he says, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. God asked him to offer him up. And then down in verse 15, look at it, says, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord. This is the Lord. This is Yahweh, the great I am, stopping Abraham. And he says, for now I know you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son. Didn't God know that he feared him before? Didn't God know that he believed before? Yes, of course, he knows everything. But he's saying now, by practical experience, your faith has been manifest. I know you fear God. Your fear of me has been made known. Here is where we see Abraham truly did have a relationship with the Lord. He feared him. He revered him above all things, even his only son. Brothers and sisters, if you're a true believer, the Lord's going to prove your faith. He's going to prove that you fear Him and revere Him. He's going to test you. Indeed, it is in the context of the fear of the Lord and faith that obedience is manifest. There couldn't be a greater test. The promise is hinged on Isaac, whom he loved. And Abraham, God says, did not withhold his only son. Are you withholding anything in your life? Is there anything that is more important than Christ? You see, if you're a true believer, there should be nothing more important than Him. And for Abraham, the true believer, the paradigm of those who are in the faith, even his most precious possession, he did not withhold. You see, and this really foreshadows what Christ did for us. Turn to Romans chapter 8, what the Father did for us through Christ. The actual word translated in the Greek translation of the Old Testament is the same word. Romans 8:32. He who did not withhold or spare his own son. God didn't withhold his son. He actually allowed him to be sacrificed. He didn't withhold him. He loved us so much, he gave his only begotten son. It says here, for he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How will he not also freely give us all things? If he would not spare the most valuable possession to him, his only son, how will he not give us all things, those lesser things? Here again, we have a picture of what God would do in the testing of Abraham. Now, with this in mind, we're going to see the results, and we should be encouraged. You see, when God tests us, there are blessed results. There are blessed results. God does this for our good. Middle of verse 12, for now I know you fear God. You really have a relationship with me, Abraham. You are a true believer. This testing has outwardly demonstrated a real relationship with the living God. Part of the purpose of God's testing of true believers is to reveal and demonstrate their faith, by the way. And sometimes we need to be encouraged by that, don't we? We need to be encouraged that, yes, we truly are His. We know it, but yet at times we can falter. The testing of our faith brings blessing. James 1:12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved or demonstrated. If you're a true believer, God is going to test your faith. He is going to demonstrate that in your life. Will you pass the test? Are you a true believer? He will receive the crown of life. Turn to James 2. You see, you'll be able to recognize by the work that proceeds from faith if you have a saving faith or a bogus faith. Bogus faith loves self more than the living God, by the way. And when it comes down to obedience, it goes to self rather than obeying the living God. James chapter 2, verse 14. Let's start there. What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? The whole issue of what he'll talk about down here is saving faith, by the way, and you got to keep that in mind, or you will misinterpret James chapter 2. Saving faith. Down to verse 19. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons believe and shudder. Well, the demons have theology that's correct. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Well, we know he wasn't justified by works. He was justified by faith, as we'll see. But his works demonstrated that he was justified. You see, when he offered up, look at this, Isaac, his son, on the altar. This ultimate test proved that Abraham had been justified. You see, faith was working with his works. As a result of works, faith was perfected or brought to completion. You see, that's what God's doing in our lives, brothers and sisters. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. It was fulfilled in the fact that his faith worked out in the context of the test that God brought upon him. He was a true believer. God does not test us for the purpose of crushing and failing us. He tests us to bless us, that we would know where our relationship with him stands. Now, certainly, if you are not a true believer, it's going to demonstrate where you stand, and that's good because you need to know where you stand so that you can trust in Christ. But not only are we blessed, God provides. Look at verse 13. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, I should say this more emphatically, that's the Hebrew. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, that's actually written to us, not to him, by the way. Behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. A ram is a male sheep. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. And as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. Of course, we know this foreshadows the reality of God providing salvation through Jesus Christ. You see, remember, Abraham said to his son, the Lord will provide a lamb. He trusted him. And here the Lord has provided a ram in place of his son. And I'm sure you can all see the foreshadowing of what Christ would do for us. He would die in our place. The Lord has provided. He has seen our need of salvation and provided Christ in our place. All of us like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah 53:6. Each one has turned his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In our place, God provided his son Jesus to bring forgiveness of sins. And look what Abraham does. Verse 14, and Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. The Lord sees with an eye towards providing, and this would foreshadow what Christ would do and has done for us. You see, all along in this passage, there have been things foreshadowing what Christ would do. Verse 2, Isaac is spoken of as Abraham's only son or only begotten. Verse 2, we see that he would be sacrificed in the same place that Jesus was sacrificed, Mount Moriah. Verse 4, the third day when they arrived at Mount Moriah. Verse 5, this assurance of return prefigures Christ's resurrection. Verse 6, Isaac carried his wood to be offered on as Jesus carried his cross. Verses 6 and 8, they walked together in unity to this sacrifice as the Father and the Son, by his predetermined plan, would allow him to be sacrificed for us. Verses 10 to 14, Just as God provided a substitute sacrifice, Jesus was provided by God in our place. And then as we see in our close, there was blessing that came from this, pointing to prefiguring the blessing that would come through the seed of Abraham. Look at verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and not withheld your son, your only son, because of Abraham's obedience in the context of faith. By faith he offered up Isaac." Remember that, Hebrews chapter 11. He believed what God said and he did it by faith. He says, "Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, the sand which is in the seashore." That was the promise God had made. "And your seed shall possess the gate of the enemies." I think that's speaking of their taking of the land. And then this most important portion, "And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." Because you're a true believer, you have obeyed me, I will fulfill my promises in you. Folks, we need to recognize the Lord is fully aware of what he calls us to do. He says, "Because you have done this thing and not withheld your son, your only son." He is not distant in the testing that he brings upon us, but he will provide. He is faithful, and he provided ultimately in his son, the seed of Abraham that would bring forth salvation blessing as he would in our place die for our sins. Brother and sister, God honors obedience in the context of faith. When you trust the Lord, take him at his word, don't resolve things in your head, but do what he says in spite of your feelings and walk with him, you're blessed. Blessed are those who persevere in a trial. They shall be, obviously, as we see, once they have been approved, he will receive the crown of life. Turn again to the book of Luke, but let's go to chapter 11. When you obey the Lord, you are blessed. You're blessed because it's an evidence of a right relationship with the living God. When you trust the Lord, you are blessed. Luke chapter 11, and after the Lord Jesus speaks about the way these religious leaders had brought forth their religion, they cleaned everything up on the outside, but ultimately they exposed themselves to so much more evil because it wasn't Christ that brought it. Verse 27 of chapter 11, "And it came about while he said these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed.' But he said, 'On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it.'" You see, if you're a true believer, you're going to hear his word and you're going to obey it. Not perfectly, but that's going to be what your life is like. We've seen Abraham's life. It wasn't perfect, but he believed. And he failed, but yet he turned from those failures and he trusted the Lord and he walked closer with him. The proof of your faith ought to bring blessing. It ought to bring joy. And we need to see it this way when those trials come upon us, when God tests us. So as we finish up, notice verse 19 back in Genesis. "And Abraham returned to his young men and they arose and went together to Beersheba." Seems like a very insignificant statement, doesn't it? It's not insignificant based on what he said earlier. We will worship and we will return. And Abraham returned to his young men. And they arose together and went to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. There's great blessing when you obey the Lord in the context of faith because you have a real relationship with him. So now we have the end of the chapter here, which concludes with something that seems disjunctive, but I think it's connected, and we'll just look at this briefly as we finish. Verse 20, "Now it came about after these things, after what we just studied, that it was told Abraham, 'Behold, Milcah has borne children to your brother Nahor.'" This seems not important, right? But let's read on. "Uz, his firstborn, and Buz, his brother." How do you like those names? Uz and Buz, right? "And Kemuel, the father of Aram, and Hesed, and Hazo, and Pildash, and Jidlap, and Bethuel." Verse 23, "And Bethuel became the father of," Rebekah. It is important. You see, Rebekah would be Isaac's wife that God would provide, that he would then bring forth the promise through them. You see? "And his concubine, whose name was Rumah, also bore Teba, Gerham, and Tahash, and Makkah." So why the last portion? obviously is to encourage Abraham, but it is really for us and the Israelites, first of all, and for us, that God was faithfully working behind the scenes in the context of Abraham's obedience to bring forth blessing for his son Isaac, in whom he had just offered and did not withhold. So how should we respond when our faith is tested? Today we've seen Abraham go through the ultimate test. We need to learn from that. Abraham was asked to give up his only son, whom he loved, the one in whom God would fulfill the promises. And Abraham, without understanding completely, by faith obeyed and did not withhold his only son, whom he loved. This is a picture of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. That's the most important part of this passage, is that the Lord provided. You see, we're all sinners. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. We deserve to die. The wages of sin is death. We deserve to be separated from God in punishment forever, judged for our words and deeds. But yet God sent His only Son, whom He loved, because He loved us. And He went to the cross. And He bore our sins in our place. And the Lord provided through His death for us. And He rose from the dead. If you're willing to acknowledge your sin, not a little sin, you see, if you don't see yourself as a sinner, if you see yourself as better than others, you're not seeing it rightly. You're like that Pharisee we saw in the beginning in the portion of Luke. That woman understood her sinfulness and thus responded greatly because she had been forgiven much. Every one of us who've truly been saved have been forgiven much. For the true believer, God will demonstrate and test our faith. It should bring blessing to our hearts in the midst of those difficulties. Maybe you don't know the Lord. I've seen situations where God has tested people and they left. They left not just the church. They're not following the Lord. 1 John 2:19, and they went out from us, but they're really not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out in order that it might be shown that they are not of us. Are the trials in your life showing you where you are at with the Lord? I believe they are. He who would not spare His own Son, how will He not give us all things?
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness? That you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that He took on human flesh, that He came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later? Do you believe that His work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to Him and ask Him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank You so much for Your Word and Your Son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who do not know You, who still are in their sins, that they would turn from their sin and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our New Believers Packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your New Believers Packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.